Thanks for joining us today here on Family Talk with our host, author and psychologist, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Ryan Dobson.
And I'm Luann Crane. And we are so glad listeners have tuned in today, Ryan, because Dr. Dobson, every month you write a letter that goes out to every single person on our mailing list. And this month's letter is a must read, and we're going to share that with listeners today.
And for those that aren't on our mailing list, it is free. It is of no cost to you whatsoever, and you can sign up for that at familytalk.org.
And, Doctor, this month's letter has a lot of passion, and I know people will be anxious to hear it. Let's begin.
It comes right from my heart, Luann and Ryan, and this is the beginning. Dear readers, behold the institution of marriage. It's one of the most marvelous and enduring gifts to humankind. This divine plan was revealed to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and then described succinctly in Genesis 2:24, where we read, "For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh." With those 20 words, the Creator announced the ordination of the family, long before he established the two other great human institutions, the government and the church. Notice that there was no mention in this verse or any other of same-sex marriage. More than 5,000 years have come and gone since that point of origin, yet every civilization in the history of the world has been built upon it. Despite today's skeptics who claim that marriage is an outmoded and narrow-minded Christian concoction, the desire of men and women to leave and cleave has survived and thrived through times of prosperity, peace, famine, wars, epidemics, and every other possible circumstance and condition. It has been the bedrock of culture in Asia, Africa, Europe, North America, South America, Australia, and even Antarctica. Given this unbroken continuity, one might begin to suspect that something mystical within human nature must be drawing the sexes together, not just for the purposes of reproduction as with animals, but to satisfy an inexpressible longing for companionship and intimacy and spiritual bonding. Indeed, how can it be doubted? It finds its expression in the institution of marriage. Marriage represents the very foundation of human social order. Everything of value sits on that base. Institutions and governments and religious fervor and the welfare of children are all dependent upon its stability. When it is weakened or undermined, the entire superstructure begins to wobble. Admittedly, there have been periods in history where homosexuality flourished, such as in the biblical cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, in ancient Greece, and in the Roman Empire. None of these civilizations survived. Even where sexual perversion was tolerated, marriage continued to be honored in law and custom. But as we all know, liberal forces within the American culture are working night and day to bring about a redefinition and complete restructuring of marriage. As you have heard, the New York State Legislature voted to legalize same-sex marriage on June 24th, making it the sixth state in the Union to take this momentous step. How ominous this is for the welfare of the nation. With one vote, wrote Family Research Council President Tony Perkins, New York forced more Americans to bow to its twisted definition of marriage than the combined population of Massachusetts, Connecticut, Vermont, New Hampshire, Iowa, and the District of Columbia. And none of it would have been possible without the political cowardice of New York Republicans. It's true. Passage of the legislation had been made possible by Republican legislators who abandoned their earlier opposition after being enticed by huge campaign contributions from Wall Street and from homosexual activists. Former Republican National Committee Chairman Ken Melman raised $1 million for the campaign and leftist millionaire Tim Gill and his Gill Action Fund sweetened the deal with enormous contributions. A few words describe the flip-flopping by four members of the GOP. They are bought off, duck and cover, self-serving, and caved in. There was jubilation in the state capitol as Governor Andrew Cuomo strode onto the Senate floor to wave at cheering supporters who crowded into the galleries to watch. Among those celebrating the victory 4 days later was President Barack Obama, whose administration has been working behind the scenes to promote the redefinition of marriage. While he has professed from the days of his campaign not to support same-sex unions, these are his candid reactions to the decision in New York. Quote, "This administration, under my direction, has consistently said we cannot discriminate as a country against people on the basis of sexual orientation. And we have done more in the past 2.5 years that I've been in here than the previous 43 presidents to uphold that principle." And he continued, "What I've seen happen over the last several years and what happened in New York last week, I think was a good thing. Because what you saw was the people of New York having a debate, talking through these issues." I then said, "This is phony baloney. In what context did the people of New York have a debate about same-sex marriage? They had no say in it. Marriage was hijacked by liberals and political power brokers in New York and throughout the country. Ultimately, they had their way." Speaking again of the president, the New York Times reported several weeks ago that he is on the verge of publicly endorsing same-sex marriage. The White House has been debating when to come out of the closet for some time. The Times also said Obama recently attended a fundraising gala with the gay community, end quote, and hosted a gay pride reception at the White House. Sounds like the fix is in, doesn't it? You'll recall that the president also ordered the Department of Justice not to defend the Defense of Marriage Act, DOMA, in the courts, despite the fact that in 1996, the Senate passed that legislation by a vote of 85-14, and the House of Representatives approved it by 342-67. Then President Clinton signed the bill, and it has been the law of the land now for 16 years. Because the Department of Justice has been ordered not to defend DOMA against attack, it may soon be struck down by the courts. That would affect the citizens of nearly every state in the nation. Obama, acting like an autocratic justice, simply overrode the actions of the Congress. The separation of powers prescribed in the Constitution was ignored. Clearly, the president is committed to homosexual activism, including implementation of a radical social experiment. The family is facing formidable foes in every dimension of the culture. The most powerful among them is the federal and state courts, which are determined to impose their will on the American people. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit is a prime example of this threat, which may soon declare Proposition 8 unconstitutional. That amendment was enacted by 7 million Californians who declared marriage to be exclusively between one man and one woman. If Proposition is overturned, the case will likely go to the U.S. Supreme Court, where anything could happen. If there ever was a time when Christian people should fight for what they believe, this is it. Solidarity is critical. And yet, regrettably, some Christian leaders are saying that the battle has been lost and that the family of the future will be increasingly compromised. Some have even told their constituencies to get used to same-sex marriage. They are tragically wrong. We have striking new evidence that public support for marriage as an institution involving one man and one woman is rock solid, despite what the cultural elites and the politicians and judges are trying to accomplish. Divorce is still a serious problem, of course, but the majority of Americans believe in the traditional definition of marriage. Further, it isn't losing ground, it's gaining support. Consider these findings. The Alliance Defense Fund, led by my valued friend Alan Sears, recently commissioned an organization called Public Opinion Strategies to conduct a national survey on marriage. The Public Opinion Strategies regularly provides polling for members of Congress, the Wall Street Journal, National Public Radio, Fortune 100 companies, and many others. In response to the request by the Alliance Defense Fund, Public Opinion Strategies surveyed more than 1,500 adults in May 2011. And get this, they found that 62% of Americans agreed with the statement, "I believe marriage should be defined only as the union of one man and one woman." Only 35% disagreed. Other developments validate these findings. Voters in 31 states have participated in statewide elections for the purpose of defining marriage. All 31 of them, without exception, have defined it exclusively as being between one man and one woman. The results were the same, whether they were in large states, small states, liberal states, conservative states, prosperous states, poor states, industrial states, and agricultural states. The majority of the electorate came to the same conclusion. Here's more hard evidence. In 30 of the 31 states referred to above, 63 million Americans voted on constitutional marriage amendments, and 40 million of them, 63% of the total voters, affirmed marriage as the union between a man and a woman. In the 31st state, Maine, voters overruled their state legislature and governor, who had signed the same-sex marriage bill, and restored marriage as one man and one woman in their state. Can there be any doubt how the majority of our citizens feel about this issue? Despite this good news, I'm still deeply concerned about the institution of the family. It's because I fear the people will not be permitted to make decisions for themselves and the country. Given the imperious courts and the influence of liberal politicians, the wishes of the American people could be overridden. It's a battle for the very soul of the nation. What would be the consequences of losing this culture war? It would be a social and international disaster for six reasons spelled out in my book, Marriage Under Fire. Luann and Ryan, I talked about those reasons last time, and this letter is a little long for the program, so I'm just going to read the items themselves, but not go into the detail.
And actually, Doctor, that entire content is available online at familytalk.org. Or better yet, I would encourage listeners who are not receiving your monthly letter to go ahead and sign up there at familytalk.org to receive that.
Well, I sometimes spend as many as 20 or 30 hours writing these letters.
You spend a whole lot more time on this one than that.
That's probably true. Well, let me list the six consequences of losing the cultural war. And we'll start with number one. The legalization of homosexual marriage would destroy the traditional family. When the state sanctions homosexual unions and gives them the blessing of the law, the younger generation is confused about sexual identity and quickly loses its understanding of lifelong commitments, emotional bonding, sexual purity, the role of children in a family, and from a spiritual perspective, the sanctity of marriage. It's reduced to something of a partnership, cohabitation that provides attractive benefits and sexual convenience but cannot achieve the intimacy described in Genesis 2:24. Cohabitation and short-term relationships are the inevitable result. What will happen then if marriage becomes anything or everything or nothing? The short answer is that the state will lose its compelling interest in marital relationships altogether. After marriages have been redefined, divorces will be obtained automatically, will not involve a court, and will take on the status of a driver's license or a hunting permit. With the family out of the way, marriages will occur without legal entanglements or commitments, and its meaning will be destroyed. Number two, children will suffer the greatest harm. The implications for children in a world of decaying families are profound. Because homosexuals are rarely monogamous, children in those polyamorous, meaning many lovers, situations will typically be caught in a perpetual coming and going. I don't have time to finish that one. Number three, public schools in every state will have to endorse homosexuality in its curriculum. With the legalization of homosexual marriage, every textbook will be obsolete, and every public school in the nation will be required to teach this perversion as the moral equivalent of traditional marriage between a man and a woman. Textbooks, even in conservative states, will have to depict man-man and woman-woman relationships, and stories written for children as young as elementary school or even kindergarten will have to give equal space and emphasis to same-sex relationships. How can a child, fresh out of toddlerhood, comprehend the meaning of adult sexuality? The answer is they can't, and they shouldn't. But it's happening in California and Massachusetts already. Social propaganda to elementary school kids and beyond is already the order of the day. And in fact, WorldNet Daily posted this blog on July 5th, 2011, that's 2 weeks ago, entitled California Lawmakers Demand Schools Teach Gay History. A bill devised by a homosexual California lawmaker, Mark Leno, requiring schools to promote homosexuality or other alternative sexual lifestyles to children without parental permission or even knowledge has been approved by the legislature and is going to be the law of the land very quickly. Parents will not even be able to take their children out of those classes. I wrote about that several weeks ago, and now it is the law in California. And so you're going to have kindergartners sitting there at 5 years of age hearing about adult perverse behavior. It is unconscionable to me. Number four, adoption laws and foster care regulations will be obsolete. And number five, the gospel of Jesus Christ will be severely curtailed. I really wish I could take the time to go into that. And number six, the culture war will be over and the world will become, quote, as it was in the days of Noah, Matthew 24:37. This is the climactic moment in the battle to preserve the family, and future generations hang in the balance. Mm-hmm. This apocalyptic and pessimistic view of the institution of the family and its future will sound alarmist to many, but I think it will prove accurate unless God's people begin an even greater vigil of prayer and petition for our nation. Marriage is a sacrament designed by God that serves as a metaphor for the relationship between Christ and His church. Tampering with His plan for the family is immoral and wrong. To violate the Lord's express will for humankind, especially in regard to behavior that He has prohibited, is to court disaster. One thing is certain, this is no time for Christian people to throw up their hands in despair. The moral principles in Scripture have guided this great nation since the days of its founding, and we must remain true to them. This is a moment for greater courage and wisdom than we have ever been called upon to exercise. If we now choose to stand by idly while our foundational social order is destroyed, the family, as it has been understood for millennia, will be gone, and with its demise will come chaos such as the world has never seen. If you read or hear from Christian leaders who are saying traditional marriage is headed for the ash heap of history, and we should just get used to it, I urge you to pray for them and for the protection of the American family. Thank you for reading along with me this month. I felt it was important to set the record straight in regard to the views of the American people and the risks posed for the nation. Also, please pray for us when you think about this ministry. A letter such as this one on a controversial topic can always be expected to bring a flurry of hostile responses. Part of our mission, however, is to speak the truth in love, and we will continue to accept that challenge. Protect your marriage if you're indeed married, and remain determined to go the distance together. Shirley and I have discovered that our relationship grows sweeter as the years roll by. What a gift that is from the Lord. God's blessings to you and yours. James Dobson.
Dad, I'm listening to you, and it made me think of the things that are happening in our country. And you and I have talked about the early American history with pastors preaching freedom. That's how we got to where we are today. And I wonder, where are those pastors today? There are some, but there's not enough of them who look at their congregation and say, I know your paychecks are getting smaller. I know your mortgage payments are rising. You're trying to figure out what you're going to do for the future. And right now, your government is taking your tax dollars to send Lady Gaga to Italy's Gay Pride Parade. What in the world are we doing spending our money that way when clearly 62% of the American public don't even agree with it?
Well, I said in the letter that to go down this road will be a national and international disaster. That's what we've got on our hands. If the family falls apart, the country falls apart. It's as simple as that.
Well, and Doctor, even as a parent sitting here, what you've done in this July newsletter that you just read is help us articulate this battle for our own kids. I think recently my family and I took a trip to Mount Rushmore, and we saw on this plaque over and over again these repeated mentions of the name of God and how this nation is dedicated to piety towards God. And I had to sit there and point out to my boys, look at this, was just in my lifetime we were publicly declaring our religious liberty and the place that holds in our history, and that's all being washed away, and you've identified all of those things for us again here today.
Well, that's what I was trying to say, Luann. So much has changed. And what bothers me is that you rarely hear anyone stand up for the defense of the family. You don't hear anybody taking on the homosexual activist agenda. I'm not talking about calling people names. I'm not talking about trying to hurt people. But there's an agenda here that's relevant to you and your children. But we don't hear it. And people are afraid to even articulate it. And that's why I felt it ought to be done. And it ought to be done next Sunday morning.
Well, Doctor, you've dedicated your entire life to defending marriage and parenting and the institution of the family. That continues here at Family Talk. You have not wavered one bit. And I hope that listeners will not only get a copy of this letter at familytalk.org, but stand with us in support of this ministry.
Well, Luann, it is important for us to say that financially during the summer, we have a hard time. We ran about $200,000 short last month, and you can't sustain that. And so if our listeners can help us stay on the front lines on the issues we're talking about here, but also talk about discipline and the principles of strong marriage and the other things we do, we would certainly appreciate it. That's why we're here.
Well, and it's interesting, Doctor, that here in the middle of summer when donations are low, you didn't pick a safe topic. You are not trying to just write about fluffy things. You hit the issues hard, and you will not back away of the calling the Lord's given.
Well, I'm going to send you the letters.
Okay. Sounds like a plan, Doctor. And, of course, anyone who wants to stay on the cutting edge of topics that they care about should get signed up for your monthly newsletter. You can do that at familytalk.org, or when you call us, that number, 877-732-6825. And a great way for you to support our work here at Family Talk is by requesting a copy of Dr. Dobson's book, which we mentioned today. It's called Marriage Under Fire.
It's a great idea, Luann. And we know you might be able to find a couple of stray copies somewhere online. But by ordering it from Family Talk, you're helping us continue our work, and we really do appreciate it. Again, you can find Marriage Under Fire at familytalk.org or by calling us at 877-732-6825.
And to our listeners, remember, as we announced yesterday, we have a new website here at Family Talk. We've given it twice now, but it can't hurt to say it one last time as we roll out. So here it is, familytalk.org.
Thanks all for listening, and be sure to join us tomorrow.